So I'm sitting here with Steve from the Newtown Neurotics.
Hi.
And so the name is again Newtown Neurotics. You change it in the middle from Newtown. You skip the Newtown.
Yeah. The reason for that was that most people called us the Neurotics anyway.
Yeah.
So we decided to just shorten it to the Neurotics because it would be easier. But the problem with that was that there was no internet, no Google, none of that. So it was very difficult for people who were into the Newtown Neurotics to know that the Neurotics were the same band. And so they thought we only released one album. And we suffered for that. For years, people didn't know we had any more than one album out. By the time we had the internet and the web, people could just search my name or the Neurotics name, and then you'd see all the different albums available. One look at Amazon or something would show you that we put in Newtown Neurotics and you get all of our albums, but that wasn't the case. But when we started playing again in earnest, we decided to go back to the old name because we were like going back to our roots, so we went back to the old name, and then we've left it like that, basically.
Oh. So, and now you are here back in Germany. So how many years were between?
Well, it's been a very long time Simon and I played together. Colin unfortunately died, so he couldn't be here to return with us. I have actually played this is the second time since way back. We played in Frankfurt a couple of years ago at the Au Festival.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. And we that was with Simon. But I did a gig in 2010, I think, in Berlin. With a couple of guys who were the band at the time, and we haven't got Adam the bassist here tonight, but he's the permanent member. He was there, a different drummer. So we've done it 2010 with me as the only original. And tonight we've got a standing bassist because our bassist couldn't make it. He's tied up with things in December, so it's two original members of the band. But our standing, our replacement for Colin, he's been with us 10 years now, so it's hardly a standing.
I think it's the same with most of the old bands. Mm. That there's most of the time only the singer, who stays over the time. It's, I think there are not many bands who play with the original members.
The original members, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
because family, and some are dead. Some can't go on stage because they have.
Infirmed.
They're too old. But you used to play in Eastern Germany,
mm-hmm.
Long before the wall came down. And how did it come that you...
We come over with Billy Bragg.
Mm-hmm.
Had arranged to go and play a tour of East Germany with the Communards, but they had to pull out. So he asked us to do it instead. And we went down really well. And we made friends, and so we come back, quite a few occasions to play again.
Yes. And they thought that you are okay because you're a socialist, or what was you able to play there? And
well, this is the thing.
Hmm.
This is an indication that things were changing before the wall came down.
Yeah.
For the Neurotics to play in East Germany by invitation from the party, that invitation was put together by the younger and more liberal left leftist people within the party, within the entertainment section. You know, the what do they call it? The artists, something or other. I can't remember the name. Artists agency. The East German. That was the East German office that dealt with culture. The artists agency started to push the envelope with who they could bring over. Billy Bragg was the first one, and then Billy brought us, and you know, they knew we were coming, obviously, but Billy suggested us. It was fine. The artists agency went with it. The establishment, there's, you know, the security section of East Germany, Stasi, all of that, they were okay with it. They just thought, as long as we can keep a close eye on them, it'd be fine. So we had some Stasi people planted in the group, but it never got to a major problem. They tried to stop people jumping up and down at the front stage on occasion, but we just ignored them.
But did you, could you play whatever you wanted, or
did
they say, oh no, it's not so good because it's
nothing
against...
Didn't have to submit anything either.
Okay.
It was quite different from what had happened in the past, So, you know, I said on stage, well, first of all, there was a gig in Zeppelin Hangar. I can't remember exactly where that was now. I was in the middle of the set, and I was told to tell the people down the front to stop dancing. And I couldn't do it, so I didn't do it. Our translator, Jörg Walter, he had to smooth the feathers down of the Stasi, you know, to reason with them, to calm them down. It's just people having a good time, don't worry about it, there's no problem. So it sort of, I didn't have to worry about that, I was just playing. But I wasn't going to say, don't jump up and down, that would destroy the trust between us and the audience if I start talking like a Stasi official. Or they're getting the establishment coming through my mouth, so I wouldn't say it. Also, I said at the time that I think it was important for people not to desert East Germany and leave, but rather change it from within. That's what happened in the end. After a while, I think it was about 6 or 7 months afterwards. It wasn't immediate, but that's what we were saying as we went round on tour. Because Gorbachev was, you know, in the news a lot about the changes that was going on through the Eastern Bloc. So, you know, we were just echoing some of that. But the thing is, there was too many people, doctors and skilled people, leaving East Germany. And the idea was that there was an idea to actually create a better Germany. That free movement, but people, you know, had an alternative way of handling government within the eastern part. It didn't last long, but on the back of that, we were all concerned about how East Germany was draining, full of people that they were going to need as soon as the normalisation occurred. We said what we thought, and we've got a documentary film coming out in April. We interviewed our translator Jörg Walter, who was in integral into bringing us over and influencing the artist agency to do that. We interviewed him, and I was there too, but we just asked him questions about East Germany. And he said that the New Town Neurotics were a very, very important part of the wall coming down. Now, I couldn't say that in England. I couldn't say that because I think I sound silly and people just think I'm making it up. But that's what he said to camera. What happened on one occasion, because punk bands had been persecuted for so long there, and the artist agency would put on such bland music that when they found out New Tannerotics were coming, the first time we played in East Germany, in the Palace de Republik, within the heart of the whole East German government, as it were, there, people simply could not believe that we were actually going to play. They did not believe we would appear. It was that fantastic. And when they opened the doors up, everyone come rushing to the stage, and they were in euphoria because they were going to see a proper punk band. And it also signalled that times were changing. And the fact that they could do that, I mean, they wouldn't have believed the wall would come down. But that was our first time, so it'd be a couple of years before it did. But they couldn't have believed that that was where it would all be leading to in the end. We couldn't believe it either. But basically, I didn't know what was going on in the background. We were concentrating on playing. It's only after all these years, George York has told us just how absolutely unbelievable, like some sort of dream in people's eyes. And so it was just mind-boggling to get in there and see that we're setting up. And one of the other things, you know, one of the other visual clues was a very, very common, small thing. And it had to do with that. We had beer on stage. By our feet, and you're not allowed to have beer on stage. That's what we were told anyway, especially in the theatres we used to bring it on. Like, oh, no, you mustn't, you know. Mm-hmm. We just sort of brought all our beers on, we're drinking them while we were there. Terribly sort of no go, you know. Dressed in such a way that was shambolic. I had my arse hanging out in my jeans, the back of my jeans was worn out, I had leather jackets. So visually it was like, wow, you know, we're actually going to see a proper band. And Billy Bragg was on, was he on that one? Billy Bragg was on as well, he followed us, we supported him. It was a great night's entertainment, it truly was. You know, it was in England, let alone in the DDR at the time. It was a first class evening in entertainment. People just, well, it's one of those things that everybody there would remember, wherever they are now around the world, will remember that night.
And is there video material?
Yeah, I've got some, yeah. I'm not making this documentary, yeah. Not me, but we managed to get the video of not that gig, but Lieder Summer thing, and a bit of the Political Song Festival that their TV station, RTF, was it? They put it out, and it was still there, and we managed to get it. And someone within that, whoever handles that, must be sympathetic to us, because they never charged us for it. We got it for free. Bits of it may be used in the documentary. I don't know if that's for definite, but I mean, it's an important part of the whole thing. So at least there will be a short clip of it, I would imagine.
Okay,
I've had it at home, but it's always been in black and white. But now we've got it in full colour. It's great, yeah.
And the documentary is releases in April.
Yeah. So well, its premiere is in April.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, when a documentary film comes out, it goes through a lot of stages, like film festivals and all that, and then somewhere in the line, hopefully, it either gets shown. Once upon a time, you'd think, oh, I'd do a a Blu-ray or a DVD, but people aren't so keen to do those anymore because streaming has become so important. So I'm not sure if it'll make that, but there's no reason why it can't be shown. Oh, we are thinking very, very strongly about maybe doing a premiere in Berlin. Oh, well, that's another thing altogether. No, I'm thinking in a rock way, you know, to do, because in April we're showing it in a venue in London, showing the documentary, and then the Neurotics will play.
Oh, okay.
So we're thinking, yeah, there might be film festivals that this thing can go to, but we're thinking about doing a premiere just for the, you know, in a rock gig.
Oh, okay.
And then the Neurotics play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, how did you get into punk rock?
Well, the same pretty much as most people, I guess. And we weren't aware of it right at its very birth. We didn't live in London, we lived outside of London, so we weren't aware of it. But once the Sex Pistols appeared on the Today programme with Bill Grundy, it was live television, and they swore their heads off while they were on it and caused a big furore. And then the whole country knew about Sex Pistols, and that's when I got interested in that, because I like seeing the some staid television. Staid, and it's always the same, it's very boring. Get turned upside down with something they didn't plan for. And of course it was a very electric and raw music, so from that point on I needed to have a band. That was it, really.
Yeah.
And then I discovered the Ramones, and I thought they were fantastic. So, you know, then a punk band called the Sods formed in our hometown, first punk band in our town, and I thought, I've got to do it now. Everyone's shooting ahead and getting out there and doing it. So I asked Conan to play bass in a band with me. It was the night that the It's Alive album by the Ramones was recorded at the Rainbow Theatre on New Year's Eve 1977-78. After we come out of there, my mate Colin, I said, "Do you fancy playing bass in a band with me?" And he said, "Well, I can't play bass." I said, "Oh, don't worry." He said, "You're good looking, you're skinny, you've got a leather jacket, and I'm sure if we get you a bass, you'll be fine." So Colin joined. And then we eventually got a drummer. Drummers were very rare, very scarce.
It's the same
nowadays. Now, yeah. But we managed to find someone, Tiggy, our first drummer, and then we were away, started playing.
And it was the same band, or was it a band before? Did you start with the Newtown Neurotics?
It was the Newtown Neurotics, yeah.
It was your first band and your only band?
Well, sort of. I did form a band called The Indestructible Beat in the 90s. Mm. That lasted about 2 years. It was a big band and it was a bit difficult to manage. But I wanted to do something different from the Neurotics and play around with a different... I'd still using a punk ethic, but you know, with African rhythms.
Okay.
I've done that for a while, and that was really exhausting. Because it was a large band, and there were some problems with the members as well in there. So it really exhausted me. And by the time there were some mental health issues and things going on there. And by the time one of the members of the band said, "I can't do this any longer," I thought, "Nor can I." So we called it a day. We recorded one album, which I'm very proud of, but it come out after we split, I think, or if it didn't, it was just before we split, so it never really got played once it come out, so that fell into obscurity, but it's a great album. And then it was back to the Neurotics again after a number of years.
Mm.
Yeah. I went and had a, you know, sort of... my partner and I went and had a family and spent some time. I spent some time away from music to do that. Yeah.
Okay. So I have some.
It looks like you're going to. It looks like a psychiatric test. You're going to show me certain cards.
No, it's easier. Like
all right, okay. Are these your questions? Are they?
No, it's not questions. It's beginnings of sentences.
Oh right, yeah. I would
like you to read them and to complete them.
Oh okay, that's
and,
fun.
It's a lot, and you can do as much as you like. If you think it's boring, just you can skip sentences, and it's up to you.
Okay.
And you do as many as you like.
Oh, this one's an easy one. If I had a time machine, I would travel back to Liverpool in the 60s and watch the first Beatles gig in the Cavern. Okay, that's easy. If I would be a box champion, what is that?
A box champion?
Yeah. Boxing champion.
Yes.
What's that?
Ring walk. Ring walk anthem.
When you walk round.
When the box...
It would be... That's a hard one. I could think... there is something that I quite... I'll tell you what. It's... I could answer this in one way. First gig I ever played with the Neurotics, right? I was so scared that I felt I was going to just pass out. And we were just about to take the stage. And I felt so insecure. And just before we took the stage, they put Patti Smith on with the Springsteen song, Because the Night. And it was so powerful that it backed me up and made me feel, I'm going to do this. So that is sort of
that
much
might
like
be
that.
A good one. Yes.
Yeah. If I was a drug, I would be consumed. The Sex Pistols. Were the beginning of the end. The Offspring is not as good as the Onspring. My hometown is Harlow, and the best place to be there is in my house. Mum and Dad, both dead.
Most dead.
Oh. Yeah. One day in the body of someone famous, dead or alive, I choose one day, John Lennon.
But not the last day.
I don't know what it'd be like being him. But I wouldn't mind trying it. Not the last day. I don't want to be shot. No. Yeah, no, not the last day, anything but that. I'd like to be in Lennon's body as the Beatles were playing at the Cavern, because I'm intrigued with the rise. And it's sort of the more punk feeling part of it, when they were just playing in shitty places and things. So yeah, that'd be good.
So maybe at the day in Liverpool, when you are travelling back with a time machine, so you could see yourself as John Lennon playing.
Yeah, I'd be seeing myself, wouldn't I? Yeah. Now, there's an interesting causality loop.
It's a plot for a movie.
Yeah. Smile. Yoko Ono. This is Yoko Ono cards.
Oh.
But it's part of a alt art in the Fluxus, her movement is called, and she had cards where it said breathe, smile.
Yeah.
The most overrated punk band is The Clash. They are a great punk band. I'm not saying they're no good, they're great, but it's a little bit too much. They've been canonised as rock gods. And actually, when they formed, that was the last thing that people wanted, not rock gods. These were people you could connect with, who you could meet in the club and talk to. So that Clash, I love. But this, you know, hear the radio on, and you've got things like Should I Stay or Should I Go, or London Calling. That's not them for me.
Mm. Yeah. Did you ever play with them?
No. No. When I saw the Clash in the early days, I didn't have the band then. Mm. I met Joe Strummer, but I didn't have a band then. Otherwise, I would have said, here, listen to this, Joe. You know. But yeah, never got to do that, unfortunately. Acoustic punk. Well, I was rather partial to Patrick Fitzgerald. Do you remember him? Mm-hmm. Safety Pin Stuck in My Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Very early days of punk. He was really good. And now I've been known to do an acoustic gig or two, so that's what that comes to mind. Yeah. Right, feminism is normalism. Feminism is equality to me, and quite simply, treat anyone and everyone as how you would like to be treated. Simple, really.
Simple.
DIY or have it done to you.
Good.
The best way to fight right wing. The best way to fight right wing is to use every way to fight the right wing. But also to be an example of the best in people. If they insist on presenting the worst in people, then we need to present the best.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4. The Ramones are very dear to me. And in fact, I have an exhibit in the Ramones Museum in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little, we accept you, Gabba Gabba, hey,
yeah.
Gabba Gabba, we accept you, one of us. Joey Ramone had a big banner, we've got little ones. They were given to us at the Rainbow on the It's Alive recording in the Rainbow Theatre when I asked Colin to perform them. So, you know, it goes back a long way. And I've lent them to the museum for them to display on a sort of semi-permanent loan.
Mm.
And it's got a bit about the neurotics in there, so yeah.
So you also have a
I've got my button.
And after that, I've got a special Ramon thing for you.
Oh, great, yeah. Listen to Punk Rockers Radio because it may well change your life. Right. My current self advises my 10 years later self to relax and enjoy the moment more.
Mm.
That's a true one. On Four I Love Most.
On tour.
Oh, yeah. On tour, I love most meeting people and spending time conversing with people who help me to enrich myself, basically. And that's what you do with tour with people. But it's sharing your common your common loves and your differences, and both parties in that, and it gets enriched by the meeting of it. And that's what music is so special about. It draws people together, and then they talk about what the music means to them, and we can talk about how much we enjoyed playing. And if they, when we come round again, it's really good to see people who we played, who come to see us play years back, and to see they're still alive and that. So that's the, I mean, I love the plane too, but of course, on tour, the other thing is if you play a series of gigs in a row, then you start relaxing right into the whole thing. You know, all of a sudden it starts becoming very easy to do and the performance improves. So there's that element too. A free mind is worth paying for. No, a free mind is not worth paying for. Make of that what you will. My favourite food is, I think it, my favourite food are curries. Mm-hmm. Is it? My favourite food is curries. My English is not too good. My favourite food is curry. Yeah. I like hot food, I like chili. My strength is... My strength is internal and inexplicable. Okay. You'll find me on the dance floor when... you'll find me on the dance floor when the monitor I was leaning on falls off. When I take a bath, I listen to my food digesting. I listen to some talk radio, actually, discussions. I've got an enormous body of work, not work, an enormous body of music at home. And if I do listen to music, it could be anything. Mm. Yeah. Because I've set it up so I can play music in the bath from my own collection of billions of albums and things. So it could be anything. But I do, when I'm not, I do actually hear my food digesting when I'm in the bath. I would like to share the stage. I guess a band called Bleach. Bleach. They're not very well known. Because they're great and I love their stuff. It's two girls and a boy. Three piece, eh? Great three piece. Two girls and a boy drummer. Okay, if I could change one thing in the world, I would remove all walls. A really good beer, is a beer enjoyed. There are lots of them. IPA beers, you know IPA?
Yes.
Yeah, IPA style beers is my favourite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's all types of IPA, so. Being drunken is a state of mind. I am not good in spellings. I'm not good in spelling. I'm dyslexic, so that's what I'm not good with. I am good with words, but I'm not good at spelling words.
Mm.
Yeah. I look like a child, and my handwriting's shit.
No.
The last time I did something for the first time, I'm sure I have recently. Pardon me. I appeared in a documentary. I think that one would be appropriate for that. The most hated question in an interview is, how did you form?
So, here's my next question.
Yeah, well, I sort of, you did ask me that. But you know what? It has been asked for quite a long time, but we used to get it all the time. Is it worth fighting for? It is worth fighting for it is fighting for universal rights. Mm. Yeah. Always. When I am down, I am lower than you. On tour, I hate most. On tour, I hate most bad promoters. The worst place to wake up after a hangover is in a house you don't recognise. If I could be a kid again, I would form a band earlier.
Hmm. So you were a kid when you formed it?
No, I wasn't. No, I was 23.
Oh, okay.
Could have done it earlier than that. I'm still looking for the answer to the question, how does a liquid crystal watch show numbers on the screen? Mm. The digital watches, they seem to hover over the background. I don't know how that works. And no one's ever explained it to me. I mean, the thing is, I found out the other day that there are actually so many things I don't know how they work. Most of us don't. We don't think about it. Mm. But some things are so astronomically difficult and alien to our everyday life, even though we use them all the time, that it's quite frightening to think that you live in a world that you accept but don't understand most of the time. You know, so that's, yeah, it's a bit frightening there. Being in the studio is a privilege. Oh, I think it's quite fun.
But we should do the remote thing.
What's a remote thing? Oh, yes, of course.
It's a project I started some years ago.
All right.
I'm collecting musicians reading the lyrics of the Ramones.
Okay.
And I have...
So what have you got for me then? Hmm? What have you got for me?
There are 30 lyrics here, and you can choose one and read it for me.
Just the title?
No, here are the lyrics.
Oh, they're all in there, are they?
Yes, yes. And okay. You choose one and...
Yeah.
Maybe, I hope, hopefully your favourite is on the list.
No, definitely. My name is Steve Druitt of Newtown Neurotics, and I am reading the lyrics to Judy Is a Punk by the Ramones. Jackie is a punk, Judy is a runt. They both went down to Berlin, joined the ice capades. And oh, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Second verse, same as the verse. First, Jackie is a punk, Judy is a runt. They both went down to Berlin and joined the ice capades. And oh, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Perhaps they'll die. Third verse, different from the first. Jackie is a punk, Judy is a runt. They both went down to Frisco, joined the SLA. And oh, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. So the project is called Remoetry.
Remoetry.
Remoetry. Okay. And that's my present for you.
It's thank you.
Bottle opener. You are now
a bottle opener. Just what I need. I was struggling earlier. Remoetry. Yeah, I like it.
Remoetry.
Remoetry.net. Oh, okay. Yeah, remember that. Yeah.
Thank you so far.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and you. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Right, I'll take it then.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.